interrupting the current Neo-Ukrona Moneypox Cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM475. As we just build this stuff up against us, the lunacy behind all this stuff. And I think about it, aren't we due for a church and school shooting massacres by Madman Diversion yet? Oh, wait. Yeah, the problem with the once-a-week broadcast. Sure there was. And guess what? Even MSN's covering up how stupid this thing is and all the failures. What I found out was interesting about another school shooting, bigger and better and badder, was a discussion made on Twitter, somebody doing some research, and you can too, pull out all the lunacy for yourself and tell other people. Hopefully we get enough people to see it and move together to take action. I hope people are seeing the uselessness of government anymore in help in protecting and securing and all that that they're supposed to do. Not securing people, but to secure our rights so that we don't have this nonsense. But sure enough, there was a research done, and the only thing I want to just point out was the response by the cops to not go in, the arresting of the parents who wanted to go in to save their little ones, which should tell you a ton, folks. Get your kids out. The research was done to find the documents of their training of the cops. And this is important because, as I've said before, if you don't have a law against it, a policy against an official acting or the defining what the actions should be, you really don't have a cause. And the Bar Association courts have allowed that to be an immunity when there's not that prior notice. That's due process being applied against you incorrectly. But a gentleman named Mike Baker made a study, and it says, I have spent the past few days researching the training of Uvalde officers, including the tactics they were expected to use to halt school shooters. The documents are jarring. Here's a thread of our findings so far. And then we'll go through it. You can get the link. You can go to it. We'll say that they actually show what anybody would have expected, that the officers taking the oath, notwithstanding the fact that there's no duty to protect y'all, and I've talked about all that and shown it to you, and lots of people know that the cops have no duty to protect you. The courts have said so. The training is that you will go in to protect innocents. You're supposed to go in. You're not supposed to be waiting around, waiting for your buddies, manning up, gearing up. Interestingly, if I understand this correctly, too, one who went in, a Border Patrol officer, actually stops a guy. He gets wounded, so we can expect this is serious. Given, and there's a theory out there that this didn't even happen, so no one's seen no bodies and all this, but I don't want to go there. It's going good. It's not a good thing we saw. The officers standing around, they were trained to go in. Their training was to go in. This gentleman, Mike Baker, has amassed the documents, highlighting the places of showing that officials do have a thing they're trained to do, and they failed miserably. And so, yes, we are what, folks? We are due again for the church and school massacres. Why? Because they got to pile up all the shiny things, and they expect you not to respond. And all the mothers and fathers of that school, and that school district, and that city, instead of making excuses, need to hold everybody accountable, either make access, stop, essentially, and I don't want to get too far onto this, stop advertising that there's no defense in a school system for this, and start giving allowance for examples to be made as they happen. That's not going to stand very long, and we'll stop this. In other words, stop making these areas gun-free. Okay, gun-free. Well, now, defense appliance. If I don't have a defense appliance, then that's capable, I'm going to have troubles, aren't I? And then if I advertise I have no defense appliance, then maybe it's going to invite trouble. In this case, the officers were not supposed to stand twiddling their thumbs like they've done on prior events, and they've been trained, and they've been trained just a couple months before, and that's going to be the policy they're going to be held to, I hope. That's usually how it works. So I want to thank Mike Baker. Caught my eye what they had done. Caught my eye. When you read it, you can't deny The words are there. The black and white is there. The notice is there that these officers were supposed to do different. I'm not going to say that them doing different would have changed things. I'm saying that if we're not responsive, bad things go worse. And now it's the public, if you will, the parents, the mothers and fathers, actually, who need to step up, and then people support that to stop the killing of this innocence. But you realize they're not. This, the government's not worried about the killing of innocents. That's part of the plan. So, yes, we are we're in that scheduled diversion, and so here we are. My condolences to all the families. I'm not getting any questions about that question there. This was uncalled for. The cops beat you down instead of letting you do what they won't do in protecting of yourself or other. See, we all have a duty, whether you can take it on or not. You're not obligated, but there is this duty that we have to ourselves to protect ourselves. We do have the right to defend against felony against another, and the cops aided and abetted the murderer in this case. The alleged murderer in this case. I find that interesting. In another case, a woman stopped another shooter. It was an alleged shooter, but the woman actually shot the guy. So I don't know why didn't she allegedly shoot the guy with a pistol. But these self-defense appliances can't be advertised and not be around. And I think there's school districts that allow them. So this is not even a defense. There's no argument as far as I can tell. And I'm not going to get into the gun issue because part of this is I don't agree that the guns actually play a part in what we're up against here. They're circumventing that. They're invading us from inside. And they, and it depends on the subject matter who the they are. That's the they are like the word term person. It's a placeholder for the subject matter. So I got to thank Mike Baker for his little assessment there, pulling the documents together. You can't deny what you see. I'm assuming that those documents are valid and original. And so that would be for any of you that want to try to do something to help or guide people that are there. It's a tough thing. Get past your remorse, because there's a bigger problem happening. It's continuing. More little ones are going to die. And at the hands of a derelict police force that will beat you down, that will shoot you for some alleged traffic offense, but will not run in and don't use the money, the taxpayer money, to run in to defend the innocent. No, they kill the innocent. They allow the innocent to be killed. And this brings me up to a story weeks old now. I'm going to bring it right up now because it's the innocent being killed. The government would rather spend its tax money from people. This is no different than a leverage funding condition of a foreign usurper coming in to use your money against you. This is an issue I want to get to. Again, I'm not going to get into an analysis about this, but a gentleman who certainly took notice of when the government used its money from you to kill his wife. I certainly took notice in the 90s about this, and this is just after the time, and boy, this didn't almost leave the time when we were still of the mindset that there was going to be a revolution in this country. A civil war would start out then again, and then I was aware and a part of the consciousness that was gearing up for the revolution. I was a little bit on the outside of it, but I was asked to do a task, and I committed to that. And there was a vast underground belief that things were headed way south, way fast. And then Ruby Ridge happened. Well, in the news a couple weeks ago, Randy Weaver, who confronted the U.S. agents at Ruby Ridge, died. And so that brought up some links I wanted to call that up to people that I have here. What happened at Ruby Ridge, Randy Weaver at Ruby Ridge in the siege? And I want to remind people what happened. This really caused people to take notice. The government be against us. It's obvious. Killing his wife, holding their daughter, I think it was. A sniper did so. An FBI sniper, nonetheless. And this was all over, essentially. The only thing they got him for, ultimately, I think, was a failure to appear on a violation of some sort. Again, killing for no real warrant. There's no warrant to kill on these very low-key charges. You need to read how that worked out. I'm not going to go over here. I did want to call our attention to the fact that the government uses its funds that it claims it gets from you, which is still another fraud, but there it is, to come and harm and kill us. Don't give us the respect as people. Don't give our families respect. This is an ongoing problem. Not only do they keep from protecting the innocent, they will attack you and kill you. I'm just going to tell you, I sure took notice of this one. I didn't get too involved in the ins and outs of it. I was still coming in through at this time, trying to organize my thoughts and studying what are we dealing with here. This is really kind of solidified for me. The Ruby Ridge siege started to solidify that we weren't in the America that I had been promised. And I don't mean like someone had to keep it. I mean that there was it was a vast place and area in the society that would allow you to do pretty much anything. And really the point being that you don't just do anything. You can do things as long as you don't hurt others kind of thing. It was really that promotion. Found out by the 90s that wasn't the case. Then Ruby Ridge came and it's like, wow, this is really not something very cool at all. Still trying to get a handle on it. So this is at the time this is about the time, as I'm telling you, I'm starting to go into the law libraries and reading. And I did make a comment and I got an email about the Benedict on Adam. So yes, I still agree that's a pivotal point. But I forgot to say, the appreciation I had for the book was actually from some reading I did before, right before I did that study that I explained last week in the law library, University Law Library, reading that most of the volumes of that encyclopedia. I had also read the vehicle code book for the state I was in, and I'd also read the full statutes. You want to talk about a drudge? Yeah, this was a serious problem. This Ruby Ridge started to show this is a serious thing for some reason I needed to focus on. For some reason. I don't know what was telling me that. I don't know why, but it did. And the study I had done right before reading the Benedict of Emery was the statute books of the state I was in. And in particular, I had already read before that the Motor Vehicle Code. I read that 2.5 times before the answer came to me of how this all really starts to work. Why I'm bringing this up about, it gave me, reading the statute books gave me an eyeball. I didn't read to qualify it. I just read. And at the time, it was something about, like I told you about being sick, I had a mind to read. It was like a sponge. I was regaining new information and new knowledge. I just bringing it in. It just all coming in. I had no basis to qualify a thing. I was just a sponge. So I was reading and reading and reading. And I happened to read the entire statutes. The drudge that I be now, and when I read that Benedict's on Admiralty, when you see the statutes of the state in Benedict's on Admiralty fulfilled in your state, it takes a whole different meaning than I can ever tell you you need to see. And so I needed to preface that from last week. I didn't say that. I didn't appreciate that before. The impressions that were made by having the prior base knowledge of what the laws in a place were, and then seeing their form in the Benedict on Admiralty Encyclopedia were quite impressive to me. They've stuck, again, I can't tell you where they all are, but they're quite impressive. Like, let's say, for instance, finding in Benedict on Admiralty a form of penal statutes that were the penal statutes adopted to a state. Almost identical. In fact, that's how I identified it. They go, wait a minute, I've read these before. Where have I read these before? And when you start to see the consistency across the board about this, without suggesting an opinion upon it, just watch it, just admire it, then it makes it, for me, it made a different impression. It's how I come through to talk to you today. It's probably why people would argue with me. They don't have that basis. I've put that very vast value on being perceiving all that. And so it's a little bit more than I said even last week. There's a foundation you build in yourself as you go that builds and builds and builds. And yes, it's not a normal life, I have to tell you that. But we're not in a normal life. We're not in anything that was ever said. The Ruby Ridge, Randy Weaver story is the wake-up call for us back then that should still be today. He's dead. He's died. The story now is to be told. He was found and was paid. If you want to see that there is some way to get back at it, I think it was $3.2 million for what happened to him at Ruby Ridge and the loss of his wife and I think his son. And someone else got wounded, but I don't remember the story again. I didn't get quite so deep. As this story starts out here in the what happened at Ruby, what happened to Randy Weaver after Ruby Ridge siege, it starts out the famous Idaho standoff that happened at Ruby Ridge sends chills down the spine even today. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what the government will do. And despite the need for due process, this is where you start to get the idea this government is not for us. And this is way before we ever get to the reset crowd. And so I guess I'll stop there. Anybody who's have done any of this research, I'm talking to the choir, you know. Anybody who's never heard about it or got an inkling, you know that it's there in the background. Anybody that's never heard about it, you really need to look at it. And you need to realize these are maybe the basis for what starts to formulate how and why I'm still here, why I'm here at all. I don't know why I continue in the face of the crickets, but this is that important, I suppose. These people that pose to be authority, they're authorita, they're usurpers. I don't know what else to say. And it's not so simple just to call them that. You have to, the way this place works, and the way you see historically the organic establishment was, you have to call out the harm, and then you better be ready to fight for it. In this case, they've translated that fight into something you can't use the Second Amendment necessarily for. The thing that was done by the government to shoot the wife, the sniper, and the son, while they were trying to protect their property. There's a lot behind this story that was really an eye-opener for someone like myself, watching for about 10 years this disaster coming on by the government itself, people not liking it so much, and then this. And I don't know how this place didn't blow up after this. It didn't. And that showed me something else about people, too. That's where I get the inkling that we're really, notwithstanding all of our vociferous rejection of this system, we're agreeable. We're crickets. And I don't want to make that a fast rule. I do this as mocking people enough, I hope, to say, yeah, we really have a bigger responsibility to ourselves. Let's step up. Let's stop being, you know, if you will, the proverbial, it never been in the crickets or not in the proverbs, but the proverbial crickets. We have to take ourselves by the scruff of the neck, and we have some little, at least some little ones to protect, because yes siree, it's that time again for church and school shooting massacres by supposed madmen as a diversion. And what else do we say anymore? We could repeat this over and over, and I'm feeling that that's all I'm doing all of a sudden. Court rules cops are wrong to arrest Louisiana man for criticizing them in emails. Here we have another evidence, and we're going to see a few of these today, this week, where the cops are taking your tax money, your money so-called, taxing your life, actually, through various taxable means, and they use those taxes to do things that the money really wasn't intended. And they have to go through the courts in order to find out that they're doing wrong. You'd think this was like a no-duh moment, but no. Court has to find in rules that a cops were wrong to arrest a Louisiana man for criticizing them United States of America. This is where your free speech rights do work. You see that this is an empowered condition, whether or not we're actually seeing it. And this is against the government again. Don't translate this to the private Twitters, but as I said, that those arguments are really more unconscionable contract assertions and challenges than they would be free speech. And a couple other things. But the U.S. District Court of Eastern District of Louisiana has ruled that three police officers in the state's St. Tammany Parish violated the law when they arrested a man for criticizing them. I won't go on. It finally took a court to say that rule, the word rule is important here, there. It was a final, and that shows you that they're willing to take the money and use it against you wrongly. There's no scruples to avoid it in the first instance. No, they're leaning hard on the immunities the same type of court will give to the officials in order to violate you, kick you down, knock you down, take you out, kill you, allow you to be killed. Stop the Samaritans that would jump in to try and stop death. We are in for a reckoning, but I don't think it's the type of reckoning people that would just talk. it's time for the reckoning, and it has to be done in a particular way, and it has to be done by everyone. This is beyond, I don't know how anybody, political, left, right, whatever, conservative, whatever they call it, progressive, who could stand by and allow, well, unless you're a Gaia Green religion, you could stand by and allow the innocents to be, killing of innocents to be continued. Well, you're supposed to be presumed innocent. Why isn't that same rancor built up from everybody when a cop kills you for a traffic thing? A traffic thing, no less. Not for another fraud. Why does it take a court to rule that the cops can't arrest a man for criticizing you? When was that not a thing in the United States? Did that become a question to go to the court? And yet, this is the failure. This is this stinking abyss we're sliding into that we see. There's still some evidence that we do have these rights. It's just that the officials have gone that far over the edge, and it looks the new normal. And so we accept it. Instead of protecting people, instead of allowing the law to work, instead of letting people do the things that they want to do in the law, the cops make stuff up. They come after your property. Highland Park seized their building. The price to get it back was two new police cars. This is a story and paraphrase of somebody who bought a building, cleaned it up. It was an old church building. So where are your churches going on top of that? Where's your culture going? Where is the guidance from a principle that's external to secular government? Where is this stuff going? It's going into commerce. It's going into the next new use of the building. And someone gets the property. They're from Poland. They start growing medicinal marijuana. The cops decide they want the building. And they go through the process of confiscating, policing for profit to take the building in order to put the leverage on them to ask them for two cop cars to give them back their property. And also a concession not to grow marijuana, which they had licenses to do. The theme here, the money, the cops, the officials, all officials, it seems to me, are utilizing the misappropriating public funds to do unlawful things for unjust enrichment of some sort, even if official enrichment. They're willing to watch innocents killed in order to have that happen. They're willing to watch property confiscated and cause property to be confiscated and so-called seized to have that happen. And this is where the crickets are deafening to me. Why is this even allowed? You read the story, there's an attorney that says this is policing for profit, but it's still a question. It's still an argument. It's still a discussion. Where's the equity in the point? Where's the title here in the government to do so? This is just an under the color of law tyranny is all this is. Likely that federal court case, and I didn't read deep, I don't remember now, I guess I read it, but I don't remember, was likely a so-called civil rights under color of state law case. And remember, that is what that says. It's under officials under color of state law, state officials under color of state law. That section has nothing to do with the federal court, which apparently are given carte blanche license to go and violate all these things. The absurdity here. So the cops, as we see evidenced again in the reoccurring church and school shooting schedule, do not do anything that you would think that they would. They are certainly not here to help save innocents. They're certainly not here to help those that want to help save innocents. They're certainly not here to enforce the laws correctly. They're certainly here to exploit a judicial system that's actually allowed this to go this far so they can do it. This was a rare case at all. It's still ongoing, a rare case that someone stood up and actually caused the question now. What? You see, it's the court of public opinion that's starting to speak when you see it. By the time it gets to the internet, they're pleading to the court of public opinion. That's a valuable call that should see some for response, but the system is then proven to have failed already. And a big story that I haven't talked too much about, and again, all this stuff to talk about, came through weeks and weeks ago. Warrantless search and surveillance practice overruled in Tennessee. This is a big issue against where the government again takes your tax dollars to work against you. The Bar Association says that's cool because we supposedly have a higher calling to do. A warrantless search and surveillance practice used by wildlife agencies to investigate hunting and fishing violations has ruled unconstitutional last week as the Tennessee Circuit Court, paving the way for property owners in several other states to challenge criminal charges resulting from such techniques. This is a little bit near and dear to my heart, if you will, in my actions in the past, again in the 90s, where I was involved with a property where they used the arguments to come on, the open field arguments to come onto a property and to eventually derive some kind of evidence to get charges to try and steal another property. So I've been involved in watching and experiencing all this stuff firsthand for quite a number of years. For those of you that don't think I'm connected and don't understand and I'm missing the point, which I get every once in a while. But this is a big deal. I don't even know why it's an issue, but the government will come in and take advantage and exploit. They'd rather use your money, your property taxes and stuff and whatever taxes they get to do this stuff in question, and they are willing to double down. But the Tennessee court finally stepped up and said, no, property rights, people have property rights. Then they're going to stand for something. It took a private property owner to stand up against it. Terry Rainwaters and Hunter Hollingsworth sued the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency after they discovered a video camera with a 24/7 live feed installed on a tree on the Hollingsworth property, which was marked with no trespassing signs. Rainwaters claims the agency also engaged in warrantless searches on his property. Again, you need to read how this works. This is a long-standing problem. This is not the only story like this. This is the first time they've actually come out to try to, a court has come out to give a property owner the right. I want to offer a thing here. I don't know that I saw that they did it for the reasons I would say, but underlying this is the Tennessee state's violation of its own disposal enabling acts to protect property owners from encroachment. And the court there, notwithstanding this decision, the court there allowing these things in other ways. The federal court does the same thing. State courts do that. The state courts showing that they are amenable to the state, that they do not any longer, though they, it's still to be pressed. And we do this with the miners, with their property, their mining property, that we assert the disposal through the Enabling Act of the state, that Congress disposed these in a certain way. That way is described within the four corners of the patent, the evidence of disposal. And that is what the state is obligated and has the duty to protect. It didn't include any reservations for all this nonsense that we see. I've got to keep this short, though. Very big story coming out of Tennessee weeks and weeks and weeks ago. Finally getting to it. Just brought it up this week because it's so important. Now we see that the state will double down. State of appeals ruling the warrantless searches by wildlife officers are unconstitutional. There's a whole lot to discuss here that I just don't have the time on these broadcasts to really cover. And then what really is our, it's just an opinion because the courts will do what they do. And they, we're finding it particularly, this is an interesting case out of Tennessee because of what they're doing, what the appeals court just did in the Tulis decision that I understand didn't apply law, one law at all. It just, I'm responding to somebody's observations. They don't bring up one principle at all in their violation against you in the agreement of the fraud in the COVID-19 treason. It's fascinating what they'll do, and predictably so, because that's in the petition that they would do this. This is the other thing. They're not even bashful that they got caught, and they're going to continue to get caught, at least by a knowledgeable public looking in, public opinion, that may get caught up, hopefully, although I understand it may not go that far, to the federal court, where if the case gets positioned right at the Supreme Court as a due process violation and a lack of justice, then maybe a civil rights issue could be made relative to state officials violating those rights under color of state authority. And that's how that case is being positioned and has been positioned the entire time. But this is what goes on. So interestingly, in the same state where there is no principles relied on an equity issue, the judges here allowed that people have property rights. So I don't know what the underlying politics of all this is. This was the right decision. But again, these are set up. You got to be careful. Watch out the setup so that they make a precedent that's solid. And you see multiple states are doing this. So your state governments are not a place to reside in, if you will, not to reside, but to rest in, like you have rights and protect it. I'm not going to be able to say that there any state is doing that until I can see the simplest land case, which is to a mining claim, can be protected and will be protected by the state against an encroachment. And maybe you don't understand how simple it is to get to that, and all the rights can be easily exposed in, because there's no chain of title over the top of it. It's the original claimant having rights secured as if patent had issued. Don't even have a patent, and yet they get protected. Shows you how land is supposed to be honored and sacred in a way in this country. Not necessarily anywhere else, but certainly in the United States. What I realized was the difference here. You can read the story. This is the state would rather come against us than to protect us. And for its ends. And I don't know, again, any further talk here behind the woodshed is just opinion relative to that. They will tell us. If you think you're free, these bar members will tell you what your rights are. So this is a surprising outcome that they would actually restore the property rights of people. And again, maybe not because it's in a circuit court, not definitive yet. It gives us an insight. We can look at the rulings and we can start to see the logic and maybe incorporate that some more, tighten up what we're doing in protecting ourselves to try to make it very, very much more very difficult for these bar members to take away your property so that you'll be happy in the future. Remember, if you don't have property, you don't have due process, and that's how they've really nailed this one. They said, well, you don't have any property rights here, so we don't have to give you due process. So I'm not sure what the underlying real point was. We do have quotes that said that this gave rise to intolerable risk of abuse of searches and that the practice was unconstitutional, lawful, and unenforceable. They would have to support that as well. But this is in a way, it's earth-shattering to see that the government bar association actually said this. So I'm happy to have sought it. I couldn't get to it till now. And there's little streams of insight about where this play. How really, this is an insight how far this country has gone. Why we get to the point when you can say there's a schedule for church and school shooting massacres, that there's going to be a schedule for endless disease, that there's going to be the outcome set up for it all. It shows how far into that new normal, if you will, the subversion of the organic establishment that we are, as we continue in the fulcrum point for this was 9/11. Again, new reports on DHS surveillance and profiling papers, please. The story the government will do against us instead of protecting us. They turn the guns inwards, and then everybody says, okay, the crickets, and then they get their way. Two new reports from the university think tanks call attention to the surveillance and profiling, including surveillance of and action against domestic and international travelers. So a little bit, I want to show you the wildlife in Tennessee doesn't seem to be connected, but remember, you're considered wildlife and criminal wildlife. But their surveillance was found to be unconstitutional. This, you see, the DHS supposed to be looking to protect us from, I guess now it's from ourselves, was never supposed to happen, also does its surveillance, and it takes someone to do the study to find out that they're doing it outside of the constraints that their appropriations would have said, or under the color of the proper appropriations. And so we have more show. I guess the first few tabs today are showing you what the government would rather do with the funds they say is taxes than what they ought to be doing. And the massacres are really the easy, low-hanging fruit for seeing this. When their mothers and fathers are being beat down, tased, and handcuffed from protecting their little ones, and the cops are out there twiddling their thumbs while their little ones are being massacred inside. And then, interestingly, one border agent not even part of that jurisdiction, but sent, apparently, well, it was pretty close enough to the border. The very thing progressives would say should be eliminated, the border agents, that gentleman we're told, which there's an anomaly around this guy too, races in and does what he should have done, given we just take the story for what it's worth. Another observation was made, how does a part-time burger flipper own the type of a self-protection appliance that guy had? And I'll tell you what, I'd like to know. I couldn't gather the stuff to get that kind of firepower. Not that I wouldn't like it. Like a video I saw, some guy shooting, showing what's in this country, United States, the Second Amendment cheerleading section, which doesn't understand that they're not up against a foe that the gun will go. He's shooting a self-protection device. I think I couldn't quite tell really what it was, but it's a device I'd certainly like to have. I think I wanted to have one long, long time ago. It's like a 3-inch magnum shotgun rotary cut magazine. I couldn't tell if it was an over or under rifle to 3-inch. But that guy lays some lead. So it's not like I'm adverse. And yeah, I'd like to have that, but I don't know how this burger flipper just doesn't make any sense. None of that story makes any sense. Would even have that style of weaponry. But he did. And given it's all straight up, I'm grateful for it. But that should have been everybody. The government should not be interfering with us. And they are. And that they are were crickets. There is no call for this. And then to me, it's just this leverage funding. The foreign occupation stepped in, you got you to pay for your own demise. That's what we sued in 2013, but it's more obvious then that we're talking about something foreign like sustainable development. What you're under right now with the Great Reset was identified by us in 2013 at JMD in the lawsuit. And I have my name on that lawsuit, so you can identify it. Did we get justice? No, but as a matter of law, we got a default. Why would we get justice from the people we sued who run this place? And so when you start to see this, it's not even a surprise what's going on. The surprise is that we're not responding in improper ways. No, there's another way to get at the improperness. You're not going to use the guns in order to stop the problem that happened with the scheduled church and school massacres that just happened in the last few weeks. But were you surprised that they even happened? No. Well, you might have. I wasn't. And I'm sorry to hear it, but I don't know what else to say. You watch them massacre the whole world with the COVID, with a fraud. How many more tears do I shed for that? And then I see the crickets. How many tears do we shed for that dereliction on our part? I don't know. I don't have any. Not for that. So, government here this week showing all these stories came up to show how the government, like we didn't know, but specifically, and the point being put on the massacre at the school, the cops will do everything but. The government does everything but, typically. I mean, the guy that ran in on the school was a border agent. It seemingly was more like he was on the outs as well. He wasn't even part of the gang. And so he's a bit vilified, notwithstanding the hero that he's being called. And then we see the empathy by the state. You think this is going to be your money working toward helping the elderly? Watch each thing that goes on that the government does. They come in the warm and fuzzies. Remember, this is the state that killed elderly people in New York over this fraud called COVID-19. And the heartbreak that they caused keeping families apart from the grandmothers and grandfathers. New York State is now giving out, with all their empathy, is giving out hundreds of robots as companions for the elderly. Taking your tax dollars for this, giving you a little bitty plastic robot with a bobbing, what it looks to be a bobbing half cup that flashes a translucent light and responds to the elderly. This is Alexa and Siri on steroids. That's supposed to be companionship. Notwithstanding all the technocracy behind all this and all the technology that's being used as sensors to look at what they're doing with that elder person, the tragedy that is, another innocent and literally defenseless. This is what your tax dollars are being spent under color of empathy. they're willing to kill all these elderly folk, and now they're going to be compassionate and give them this piece of plastic that responds to them, AI, connected to the internet, the smart thing that's supposed to be considered companionship. Just fascinating. I don't know what to say. I'm stunned, actually. I have no words on a lot of this. In fact, last week I was doing, I guess, quite a bit of stuttering, and I apologize. And I try not to do that, but it just leaks out. My mind starts to run too fast for my mouth, I guess. I had to cut out a little bit here and there. I made some misspeaks of logic. It still wasn't any more than normal. But this stuff has got me not sure which way to address it. Because it's always like looking at it from the two sides as I see things. And I hear nobody really responding to it. And I just wonder how far do we go as a society allowing it until we feel justified to respond to it as we hear yet another scheduled... It's so funny. In a terrifying sort of way that's pathetic. CDC expresses concern about possibility of undetected moneypox. That's right, you heard right. Moneypox. This was the hashtag for last week. I thought that term was pretty fun. I didn't invent it. That came through a Twitter. The moneypox spread in UK. Oh, the threat. The scheduled threat to your life now that the officials bring on. Despite that there's no test. Maybe in the moneypox there is. But that's going to be more obvious. And the lack of real seriousness that this is, that they actually keep bringing this up, shows you their intention. And this is not tied to the CDC. The CDC is working in conjunction with the broker, the WHO, not the rock group, not the owl, not even the little people of Whoville, but the World Health Organization, the broker of HARMA, Global HARMA, and working through and aided by World Economic Forum and what's going on in Davos, that the CDC expresses concern about possibility of undetected moneypox spread in UK. The boogie monster under the bed is just another atrocity going on that you can expect, that you can watch as they keep people that aren't too aware, controlled and fearful. In this story, I want you to pay attention to the terms are changed. They have a talk about an unusual outbreak of moneypox in the UK. They talk about an undetected transmission of the virus. And there are warnings of the possibility of the outbreak. Remember, we're not at epidemic levels. Why is the CDC talking about something in the UK? That's international. And then we also have, wanted to point out, we have the idea that the undetected transmission of something that's not really that serious and undetected wants to promote something. Because I have an idea of a detectable transmission vector. Do you? Batch by batch, folks, maybe? The ongoing test under cover of COVID-19? We've been hearing over and over these vaccines were part of monkeypox stuff. They originated from all that. We are now having the RNA, mRNA technology, which is the programmable genetically modified stuff. Well, I think that we have this undetectable transmission is detectable when we maybe look at those jabs batch by batch. Why they can be across country and not connected by contact. So they want to impose, again, contact tracing to find out. Self-inflicted wounds is what this criminal organization is talking about doing in order to get you to capitulate. I can identify a transmission vector. It's man-made. And it's man-made. How many times do I have to say man-made to show you this whole thing is nested on top of each other? Man made this thing, and every step of the way gets us to what we might be able to be seeing as this moneypox that's developed everywhere. And boogeyman, oh, we don't know how it sneaks up on you at night. Moneypox cases in the U.S. coincide with vaccine purchases by BARDA. We get a story here. Well, there you go. This is what I was thinking. Qualified my thoughts right out of the gate, although this story will say it has nothing to do with it. The coincidence is not causation. Okay, Think of it what you will. We also understand that these jabs gave people all kinds of disease. Now what? The World Health Organization announced on May 21st, 2022, that more than 100 confirmed or suspected cases of monkeypox have been identified in 12 countries, including between 1 and 5 confirmed cases in the U.S. Most of the cases have occurred in Europe, with higher numbers in Portugal, Spain, and the U.K. The WHO official stated current evidence suggests, quote, those who are most at risk have had close physical contact with someone with monkeypox while they are symptomatic. Well, how did they get there originally? It's a rare condition. How did it go from Africa to the UK, Spain, or Portugal? Well, it's undetectable what's going on, the transmission. Well, no, it is detectable. If you go look in the right spot, I would say, notwithstanding the denial that it's coincidence, not causation, it's the jab. How does this thing do what it does? It never did it before. It never did it before Bill Gates and the so-called philanthropy. It never did it before pigs fly flu and the same modus and schedule that they're on for endless disease, and they're telling us the plan. As I was asking, someone has the information to compile all these plans, all these drills that they've been doing, all the scheduled depletion of our nations. Whether it be church massacre, school massacre, global massacre by endless disease, no power, freezing to death, sweltering, because they take off your power for cooling, food. When are we going to stop it, folks? So, there all together comes these ideas. It does come up that there was vaccine purchases. That doesn't matter, that there's no proof that they want to see. The fact is you have outbreaks of things that are rare in places that they have no way to have gotten there. It's not a magic lightning bolt out of heaven strike to start it. No, something happened prior, and now it's exposing itself. Now, looking at all the data that we might have, all the facts, jab seems to be one of the only remaining options that make any sense of these people bringing in a condition that wants to, again, promote a vaccine, which has been admitted that there really isn't one. And we got that right out of Bill Gates' mouth in a video clip. Quote, we want vaccines that are infection blocking and long duration, which today, you know, the vaccines have saved millions of lives, but they don't have much in the way of duration, and they're not good at infection blocking. So says Bill Gates, admitting what they're doing is chemical weapon delivery. They're not. They have no dual use. There's no beneficial use. He's admitted to it right there. Why the military's not arresting this guy and all these other folks, I don't know. Why the United States Attorney General isn't taking steps to start to sanction these people, I don't know, folks. But they admit they're not functioning. That removes the dual use. That means it's a chemical weapon. That means it violates Title 50. Where is your government to protect your innocence and the innocence of your little ones, which they are now, the organization of the government, the CDC and the FDA, are allowing this attack against you? Another story here, as we see that admission, the doors and doctors revealed the government of Serbia has signed an agreement. They want to vaccinate us secretly. And this is a little bit like the doctors that stepped up early. Where did all that go? As I was telling you, it's not really going anywhere. But they were saying, hey, there's a problem here, and here's a secret agreement, and we want to see the text of it, and the government won't give the text agreeing to secretly vaccinate the people in Serbia relative to the WHO and Klaus Schwab and the experimental mRNA vaccines that they broker. And as a global control, and you're seeing as this has this go, connect the dots, folks. This is, you got to watch how this is happening. This is all a foreign imposition allowed by your government. And this is already here. You can read the story about the finding that it's there, but that the government's not allowing it out. And if you think that Serbia is the only government that is already in line and in tune with giving away your health rights under some ostensible treaty or so, and don't forget the United States. You have the assertion that that treaty would be bad or whatever, the convention, whatever they end up agreeing with, that the local official hands over to these criminals, organized criminals. You have that the states, the reservation in the IAH, the 2005 regulation, that the United States admitted that the United States is established, that the state has jurisdiction. They'll try to shove that underneath the rug. You need to be able to keep that up, keep that out and available, as I've told you, in the future, as this thing starts to roll, if no one else stops it. Because we see you think it's Serbia, not other countries. No, G7 health ministers agree, pact for pandemic readiness. So they're rolling this out. What I've been talking about, what other people now have identified, are exposing, this is continuing to roll out. It doesn't go away. Health ministers of the group of seven nations have agreed a pact for a pandemic readiness that will focus on collaborative surveillance and the predictable rapid response for a better prepared to be better prepared in the future, said a statement on Friday. Now you have to understand, you think that they're talking about health and looking and trying to stop pandemic. You have to understand they're talking about how to profit from it, and that includes their control grid over the globe of people, the populations of the world. That the G7 governments, which is the highest economic governments put together in a group, have already built a pact. What is the authority to make a pact? A compact? What's the authority? But here, they're running right past everybody, but they want to presume this is going to happen. And the problem is, as you saw, COVID, without anybody making a squeak, they got it through. I've identified how the rules were altered contrary to the intent of the legislature to allow this to happen inside the states. And no one says anything. Certainly we see in the Tennessee case, the Bar Association members will not bring any principle proper to the case. They are predicting there's more pandemics, even though they've changed the word pandemic again, and even so. What's the moving goalpost? So, this is not going away. The governments, whoever these people are in the governments and their representatives, are planning and plotting against you, working with the WHO, again, the World Health Organization, not the little people of Hillview, to circumvent your rights, your property, your due process, all that stuff. And no judiciary is stopping it a little bit. These people are organized criminals. And the same players are involved, and you'd think there'd be sanctions on these folks while we investigate how it isn't a war crime, what's going on, as Title 50 would explain it is. As we hear the plan, Bill Gates lays out a technocratic plan for global takeover. And this Technocracy News article references a Corbett report where James Corbett discusses the contents of this book that Bill Gates wrote, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. You can read it. You need to review it. I think that I didn't research any deeper than to read the article or to listen to the Corbett Report's assessment. My problem with listening is I already have, I think, enough facts to know we're dealing with organized criminals. I'm trying to figure out how to inspire people to help stop them. I'm doing what I can. Some people also are trying, but there's not enough. The continual discussion of this is good to let people know, but we're not moving to the next spot, which is to stop it. We're not being the good Samaritan being beat down by the cops to saving innocents in a school. We're not doing that even for ourselves on this. But Bill Gates lays out the technocratic plan for global takeover in his book. Here, this is premeditation. He just admitted what their plans are. Don't even do any. They're not functional. And so you're not going to, you know, you shouldn't expect that this is anything but a violation, a dual use violation. And so, where's the attorney generals? Where are the people? Where are the states not coming together? Well, when they didn't do COVID, they didn't assert the objective basis of the communicable disease law of every state. Where do you think they're going to be? When they're part of a bar membership that supports sustainability, the very same thing that is now being used by Gates to support the WHO, the brokerage, and the UN, and sustainable development, what do you expect the outcome is? The outcome is what they want, the future they want, because we're not stopping them. So this guy has now come up with a plan, a premeditation. I don't hear any rest, but this should be done. He admitted that what they're doing doesn't work. And yet, it continues. He's admitted the thing that doesn't work, governments are agreeing that they're going to impose it upon you with a pact. Report another individual watching this and seeing the truth. The globalists have entered the kill phase of Great Reset. Remember the Deagle population forecast? It makes total sense. And my first hearing of the Deagle forecast was through Gary L. Apparently, Leo Holman has seen it now too and understands it. And now you start to see where it didn't make sense before. How do you lose most of the population of the world? It can happen, and you look at what's going on, and it's now it definitely makes perfect sense. Not actually with the numbers and what it actually does, but you can see a mechanism now where we couldn't see how would you take over. Would you actually get the mark of the beast? As we were told, you're going to have the number of his name or whatever the identity was, have the mark in order to buy or sell. How could that even happen? Here it is. Here it is. Now we see a mechanism. How can someone predictive of a future population control condition actually have validity is now coming into sight? There's a mechanism that could do. As is writing here, this was a big week for globalists. They feel it's their time, go time, to launch the most difficult phase of the Great Reset so that they can get on with what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Fourth Industrial Revolution, as explained by the World Economic Forum guru Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab, will lead to a fusion of every human being's physical, biological, and digital identities. It's basically the dawning of the new era based on transhumanism and technocracy, and something akin to what was laid out in the novel Brave New World. I'll let you read the rest. He lays out all the players, the basics for what we've been talking about, on and on and on here about people starting to write for you to see and show you. There's a lot of pieces of information out there, if we just keep watching about it, that are telling us that there's a future that's going to happen and giving us notice that we were to have responded before they drive the final nail in our coffin. As we watch here, next link video, Davos elites warn painful global transition should not be resisted by nation states. My first response was, well, who are these people? Who are these people? And yet we don't get that even that much statement from most people in responding and then looking local to how to stop it. As we've been talking, I've been talking for years and years. And remember, again, I could bring up people that I worked with that had similar views. William Roberts, he was always saying, become vocal local. He saw this as well. He was able to see that the answer was going to be turn local. And so here we are. There's no difference here on what's going on. These people are imposing painful global transition, that dark winter that Biden is agreeing to as well without authority. At the ongoing globalist World Economic Forum gathering at elitist at Davos, Switzerland, Bond villain wannabe Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab and Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla sat down to discuss their groundbreaking plans to distribute vaccines globally while attacking those they describe as conspiracy people and the anti-vaxxers who resist. And so this is where I say you can't be attacked if you're sitting in the black and white, as I told you, and say that the official hasn't determined that there's even something to be concerned about. It's a way to get around this problem locally, as I keep trying to offer for people to pick up and get practice and not just think about it, but actually start doing what you need to get practice, like anything you need to practice, because this is going to get a lot more difficult. As I was, I think I maybe made a confusion talking about the futility in Quebec about the habeas. I can't remember the context, but I want to say out publicly, because it may have made a question, I wasn't saying don't do the habeas. What I think I may have been referring to, and someone could identify me, maybe the context a little better for me, because I can't remember back then or what I said. I would probably was maybe referring to it in the abstract more to say that the more that it's become, looks futile, the more exacting you're going to have to be, the more practiced you're going to have to be to defeat the evasion of the remedy. Not to not do it, it's actually to look a lot closer and put your, if you will, the ducks, if you please, the ducks in the row a lot more tighter to be able to expose when the, what appears to be the futility tries to press itself. You need to expose that criminality. But moving back to this, these people in Davos believe they have the power to put pain as they cause a global transition. And you've already heard G7 governments are up with this. They want to go ahead and pull this together for them. But in the next paragraph, the opening story talks about to protect the pharmaceutical companies against lawsuits and vaccines. The point is that the WHO is the broker of the pharmaceutical industry globally. Also in this discussion, this Albert Bourla, there's a video running around that was sent to me. It's an edited version of statements that says that they've been dreaming to kill people. Well, you got to go look at the original discussion. And he doesn't actually say that, but if you take away the fluff around what he said, you could argue, it would not be wrong to argue that they would be looking to get rid of all the people that cannot afford now so that the drugs, that they're willing to give them to people that are poor in order to, if you see that their drugs are killing people, to kill people in order to raise, they could then make the claim that the people that, there's more people being protected by them from the rich countries that are surviving. There's a, again, the economics background. Remember, this guy is a CEO of Pfizer, but he's also connected to the elephant in the room that is underlying all this, little bitty pipsqueak in the world trying to claim the city of peace, and they're not. But so focusing in on where this direction was, again, not only are the local governments already, the police are not protecting, the governments are not protecting, they're using your money to fight against you, then this threat is out external, bribing those people in order to continue a different level of attack, which happens to be right on the establishment of your organic structure relative to your health, and that and then bleeds out, because of the subject matter areas, bleeds out into controlling all manner of things in your life. And as I've been saying, you can identify some of those in all the modernization acts that went through the United States Congress to set the framework, the infrastructure up to be able to execute upon this. This is what they're actually talking about, I believe, when they say they have the painful global transition, that they think they have the power to do it, these demons, and that the nation state should not resist. Well, why not? Why not? Well, they're not. And that's the other thing, the truth. Now we saw with the G7, they should not resist. And that's a suggestion, the suggestive of the fact that we have the answer. It's the elite, if you will, I don't know what you call these people. They're not elite. They're the lowest of the low. But so pain, let's go back to their painful global transition. They don't care that it's going to hurt you. They're going to get to their object. The governments are up with it. You saw that in COVID. I told you that was going to be the definitive view for us to see how effective and fast that would work against us. They pulled it off. Well, one of the things that's a need in your life is energy. That's one of the main cruxes for the so-called carbon, what do you call it? That's another fraud. I don't even know what to call this stuff. It's just fraud. Underneath this global climate change type stuff and global warming. But what kind of pain might you expect? Well, Texans asked to turn up thermostats after sweltering heat knocks out 6 power plants offline. And don't underestimate the fact that when they get smart homes, they'll just raise those thermostats, no matter what you want. don't build the money, the infrastructure you need to keep the capacity going. No, go send all those billions over to Ukraine to impose, underneath the skin, impose the technocratic future, which will provide that they can turn up the thermostats if you get the power, if your social credit is good enough. With an early season heat wave reaching, searing much of Texas over the weekend, the nonprofit that manages power to more than 26 million customers wants them to turn up their thermostats. The nonprofit that manages, the third-party nonprofit, public-private partnership. You see, this is already in place in Texas. Don't mess with Texas. You've been messed with. Go ahead. Rack that rifle again. The Electric Reliability Council, what a name, of Texas made the appeal in a statement Friday, saying that soaring temperatures increased demand and caused six power generation facilities to trip offline. That resulted in the loss of 2,900 megawatts of electricity. Okay, we can go on and on and on. That's a real problem, folks. You all flipping on the switches. That's right. Go ahead and turn your thermostats off because you're killing power for everybody. But when you see the words nonprofit, you know about carbon footprint, you realize that they got to get that power from somewhere, and it's no longer coming, or at least they're trying to get no longer bring it from fossil fuels. Maybe that's the underlying reason. They're already training you. They're giving them the plausible reason to ask you to raise your thermostat. That eventually becomes mandatory by the fact that you have your trip switch sitting on your meter. If it isn't already there, how else are they going to cause pain? The European Union will not survive. The process has been begun and will not stop. Here is why. The European Union is doomed without Russian energy and other resources, which it will no longer be able to obtain. This is an economist's view of what's going on. I think it's fairly accurate. I told you before, as we saw this is going on, when the sanctions would backfire, blow back in our face, wherever they were put, here you're having the proof of it by an economist's view. It starts out his paragraph here. The needs of the West, primarily Europe, for hydrocarbons will be sharply reduced. The expert believes that this is due to several factors: the structural economic crisis, the sharp increase in the price of all resources, and the closure of many industrial facilities which wouldn't use power. But we're not talking about the elephant in the room on this one, which is the imposition of green religion, carbon footprint, diminishment, and the control of the society by the constraint of energy. So Texas ain't out of it. And if you think don't mess with Texas because it's big enough, well, maybe the little bitty countries in Europe, you notice it says Europe here, not the EU, may not be bigger than Texas, but all of Europe's bigger than Texas, and they don't care about messing with all of Europe and the European Union. They're going to attack you in your energy. They're going to cause pain, these people in Davos. Now, where the United States is and the Attorney General and the antitrust and whatever all in the military stopping these folks, I don't know, folks. Maybe have you thought about asking that question? Where are they to protect this nation from this plan? They've not got a book on it, Gates says. He's supposedly American. Why hasn't he been arrested? Why haven't sanctions been put against his plan, against what he wants to do, what he apparently wants to be the Samaritan, protect himself, not even being attacked, folks? He doesn't even have the moral background that Russia has. As we continue to see the effect now of this attack by those in Davos, the World Economic Forum, that would plan for a global transmission, as Gazprom says it received notification from Ukraine that it will stop gas transit to Europe via Sokrenivka, from 7 local time on May 11th. So they've already been, Ukraine shut down the passage. It's where they got money, and Russia was paying them. There's no problem with Russia paying them the contracts. Russia's really good in business that way. You hear it over and over and over again. We're going to honor our contracts no matter what. Business is business. War is war. We keep the two separate. That's international law. The Gazprom is saying Ukraine's going to stop the flow of energy. Why would they do that? Unless they want to put pain to Europe. And boy, you start thinking about what Russia was thinking about, the give and take of it all. They certainly did plan that there's not much they may not get the sale to Europe, but they don't need it to survive. Europe needs the energy to survive. And that that wouldn't be a harm to Russia was an interesting insight. That they also understood the United States well enough to know that in the Europe and the European Union, it would cut its nose to spite its face. And I said that would happen, and you're watching it happen. Not because I'm such a genius. It's the writing on the wall to what the agenda wants and needs to have happen that's being directed out of Davos, Switzerland, Davos demons that I've explained in another broadcast, blogcaster heading. This is happening. This is what they want. They are imposing pain on people. They don't care that you are being harmed. Just like the cops in America don't care innocence was getting slaughtered inside a building and would stop the Samaritans that would try to stop it. Although the cops had the written policy obligation to be there first. And if you think this is about carbon footprints and energy and efficiency, again, the conflation of pollution with this green religion, if you think just because you produce and help the cause that you're safe. Here's an interesting story that came up. Why Tesla was kicked out of the S&P 500 ESG index. Despite Tesla being the future product that they want to give to people, electric cars, it has been booted because it will not meet that special environmental, social, and governance data capacity that is required when these people that inflict pain globally in transitions and transformations are expecting. This is not about electric cars. This is not about fossil fuels. This is about those being excuses to put on behavioral controls, economic controls around the world. In fact, I was thinking, it takes a while for me sometimes to catch up to the bus here. As we heard MasterCard working in this system and doing this very same stuff, sustainable, and then hearing about the Fed coin and the United States residents will be connected directly to the Fed relative to your future monetary goings-on in life. MasterCard would seem to have, that whole industry seems to have a no life. The masters of the universe at Davos, using the MasterCard system, and then deferring that through to the Fed coins and other state digital coins, so-called tokens, this may be a future industry that disappears on us. And my mind just came up with that. I don't even know how to even where to fit that. This is how big a transition could be coming to people when you're dealing directly with a non-government organization that controls your life as a trust obligation underneath an ESG that a third party controls enough to go after the owner of the most profitable and successful electric car company, and the owner of which has the most money in the world. Tells you how audacious these people, these masters of the universe, think of themselves. They're going after one of the very tools to advance the technocratic cause. Reminded me of socialists, if you will, the communists, when they got done with their stoolies and their collaborators, as you heard in the prior thing, that they're going to collaborate, that the collaborators got shot. They've been used as tools. They're already attacking Tesla. They're already sending the message of what the future corporations are going to have to meet with environmental, social, and governance rankings. That's you too. Remember, people, corporations are people too. They're telling us exactly how the future goes, these masters of the universe, and you're letting them be that. WEF's Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab, quote, "We have the means to impose the state of the world." And if you don't have not put together the connection that the governments of the nations are agreeing with this, to understand he's not joking that they do have this, He's not joking when he says they put their collaborators inside the government, the cancer inside your government already. And I've been able to identify it for two decades at least. It's there. We sued it in 2013. It ain't changed. It's not gone away. There's been no outcry to stop it. No. It's been an embrace of it, actually. World Economic Forum leader Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab, we have the means to impose state control. Take those words seriously, says the article. M. Dowling writes, that goal is the core of the Great Reset, as they explain this as well. I just want to point out that this is an attitude. This is a thing they're putting out. They're going for the throat right now. They're going for the kill shot. Schwab said there are two conditions. Apparently Tesla didn't meet one of them. The company Tesla did not meet it, and they're the forefront of bringing this thing on in electric cars. But quote, the first, remember, 5G as well, and that interactive data, that's all part of this. The quote, the first one is that we react all as stakeholders of larger communities, so we serve not our only self-interest, but we serve the community, that what we call stakeholder responsibility. Second, we collaborate. If I haven't explained those two sentences to you decade ago or more, and what it means, and went through the 1985 guru, academic professor's definition of what a stakeholder is, and this is where I tell you it's Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab. Stakeholders are like Genghis Khan and his horde knocking on your door for a cup of tea. And it better be sustainable tea. That's what a stakeholder. He's saying the self-interest that any one of us stakeholders is being the horde of Genghis Khan will have the green religion that we is beyond us to promote the adherence that we are. And the stakeholder responsibility is an evangelist of the green religion. And that we will collaborate together. We're under one head because it's not coordinate. I couldn't, when I saw that, I said, well, I don't know how else to explain what he just said than what I just said. What I've said before. This has never changed from what we've been told in the writings for years and decades. It's coming out and on, and they're utilizing that condition, that situation, that infrastructure on this very same simple rule. And I don't know how no one else sees it, but he's admitting to it again right here, that you will deal with these stakeholders, which are like dealing with the Genghis Khan and his horde, who are insisting on, with a knife to your throat because of what they can do to you in their numbers, insisting that you will follow what they say. Or else, and that they will never be free from collaborating together to do that, and that means that they're under one head. The collaboration itself is not the head agency for the collaborators. Where do I get that? Right out of the United States law. Go look up in the United States code what an advisory council is. It says it right in an advisory committee. Is underneath a head organization, an agency. See, the agency isn't government, is it? It's a part of government. It's an administrative part of government. They're explaining it, his simple words here will divulge really the whole. He speaks in a popcorn kernel here, like I like to speak. You put a ton of stuff in a real small space. It's waiting for the heat to explode. He's just explained here exactly what I've told you they're doing. It's what we sued in 2013. There's nothing new here, I guess is the point. I guess what agitates me a bit about us is that we're not responding to it. Well, we'll talk about how it all is and how we're being violated and all this other stuff. We won't work together to start to attack right where it's at and oust it. This is an internal invasion, cancerous invasion. It's already in place and been there. Globalists convene to plan central bank digital currency. As we move in this, see, Davos became important, whether or not anybody understands that, in these people's life, and they are positioned to execute upon what they're doing, and the execution is one of causing pain if they need to. If you don't do what we say, we're willing to cause pain, even death. central bankers and bureaucrats are seizing on recent turmoil in cryptocurrency markets to push aggressively for central bank digital currencies. I don't know what else to say what I've said, folks. I mean, this is what is going on. Anyway, part of me wants to just feel like I need to whine about being vilified on this, but it's right here for us to see. The why people also pick this up is again, something I can't quite get around. Why isn't this not clear enough? This has been clear to me. It's been maybe not so clear to some people, but you watched it. Come on. Okay, what are we going to do about it now? They made this their case in other global elites gathered, while other global elites gathered in Davos on Monday for the World Health Economic Forum's annual meeting. See, I get talking too fast. Really should slow down. Then we would never get to the tabs. But at any rate, a Bitcoin can be called a coin, but it's not money. It's not a stable store of value. Now, if you tell me how a Fed coin is going to be any different, electron-based stable value, you're looking at manipulated markets in the future, and it's not money. Remember, it's as money. It functions as money. Like your statutes and code function as law. Look very carefully. It's not what it is. It's not a stable store of value on an objective basis and mint of something, a specie. You never see that word in here either. All right? None of it is. But this is what they're going to, taking advantage, as you see, in the recent turmoil. That was all fabricated and created. In fact, I think there's some stories that say that was some insiders causing it. As I said, they're likely going to be. Again, they're scheduled to do this stuff. As the Davos oligarch pitches individual carbon footprint tracker, I think I might have mentioned this last week, they are moving here into central currency, digital currency to control. Remember, these are entrust obligations to nonprofit organizations. You notice, like in Texas, it's a nonprofit already working their electrical system that become then imposed by these, cajoled by Genghis Khan and his horde through someone like Genghis Khan Schwab and or his global leaders inside the system with a big cheesy smile they have to bring on this tracking and this issue. And it's now gleefully promoted that you have an individual carbon footprint tracker that's coming. And Zero Hedge writes, know what's even more fun than eating bugs and owning nothing? Tracking your personal carbon footprint is promoted by Michael Evans, president of the Alibaba Group, which you find on the internet as well. A new social compliance platform tested in Chinese cities might be the wave of the future. And this guy, when you see the video, I don't know if the video is on this, but he's really enthusiastic about putting this kind of control and behavioral analysis and control upon you. He's enthusiastic to do so in pushing this whole thing through, in whether it's energy, whether it's food, whether it's where you live, why you live, how you live. Individual carbon footprint tracker. And don't forget about maybe Neuralink and all that coming to maybe even a robot near your elderly, companion robot near your elderly member and grandmother near you, that the expectation that pain is coming is also issuing from Russia. The denial of things coming to you, the austerity coming to people, if you haven't seen it already, is being predicted as well as relative to the energy that Russia is now not able to send to Europe, not because it doesn't want to, but because these intermediaries like Ukraine are saying no. Again, Ukraine was getting paid for the transit of that material over their nation, and they've shut that door. It's not Russia. Russia's being blamed for it, but it's not Russia. A terrible prediction on Friday the 13th from Medvedev, the deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council, predicted that the consequences of anti-Russian sanctions will be energy and logistics crises, new military conflicts, famine, epidemics, and the activation of terrorists. The result of the cataclysms will be a new security system and the collapse of the Americocentric world. Medvedev stressed that this is not a forecast at all. They understand what the Europe did to themselves, cut their nose to spite their face. They knew they would do it, and they're coming out to remind people that's exactly what happened, because they're being blamed for doing it. In fact, they, if you look very carefully, they're not stopping, wanting to stop any of that energy. Again, business is business, war is war. And if you look, that's international law. It's not supposed to change. Well, the United States didn't seem to hold that. The Trading with the Enemies Act kind of sits there as a big black eye for us as well. Also something that continues to ride and was not extinguished when they got rid of all the emergency acts. That should have called some attention to people. It didn't, but, well, it did to me, but partly how we can continue to look at this way. But there's a prediction by the people that are being blamed for all this. It's not us, but you're bringing all this on. Look at the list. Famine, folks. How does more epidemics come on unless they also know they're fabricated? Well, I know that they're fabricated. It's why we're on a schedule. Folks, are we due for a church and school shooting massacre by madman diversion again? Now, what's interesting about this going on in Russia, saying this is what you've done to yourself. We get a global influencer. All my life he's been around, and he's still around. He pops back up. Henry Kissinger. Title of this story, Blue Checks Furious After Henry Kissinger Says Ukraine Should Cede Territory for Peace with Russia. Veteran U.S. statesman Henry Kissinger has urged the West to stop trying to inflict a crushing defeat on Russian forces in Ukraine, warning that it would have disastrous consequences for the long-term stability of Europe. Unpack just a little bit. There's so much to actually unpack here. The United States wants the destruction, the instability. The peace is what they've already determined they're going to do. As I explained before, Russia looks like they want to go only so far and then stop. They want to stop the attack by the Nazis against their people, living in a land that was established to be a neutral territory anyway. I'm not necessarily agreeing with Henry Kissinger's sentences. How do you cede the land and not still have the border with a NATO country on that doesn't solve the problem, but neither here nor there? Henry Kissinger comes out to say and trying to solve, he's looking forward and saying, you should cede the land before more people die, more people, this dangerous establishment is made, the continuation of feeding into a system that can be predicted to destroy Europe even further. And interestingly, where Kissinger says this, he says, I hope the Ukrainians will match the heroism they have shown with wisdom. Kissinger warned an audience at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, adding that this famous sense of real politic, that the proper role for the country is to be a neutral buffer state rather than a frontier of Europe. It's nothing more than Russia said before. It's nothing more than the United States had agreed to before. In fact, a friend of mine, another colleague, I don't know how I have these friends, folks, integrated with the agreement for that, apparently. And he was talking negative to the Russian incursion, and I had to stop him. I said, we're going to go down a dead-end path here and come to a collision between what you're saying and what I've understood about what you're claiming was in the text. I said, because the United States has agreed that the Ukraine was established in order to be that neutral buffer, and it's breaching that very stated agreement. And I said a few more things. I said, so I don't see how Russia is wrong in this. And coming from someone who was apparently integrated with that formation, he became very silent. And when that gentleman becomes silent, he's thinking very deeply about really what is actually going on, and I don't think I was wrong on this. In other words, I haven't been telling you it's wrong what Russia has been doing, that Kissinger is coming out and saying that this was supposed to be a neutral buffer state. And Russia was saying, all we want is that you restore this to a neutral buffer state. cannot be a license for the United States to do anything more, for the EU to do anything more than to accept the terms as Russia is now dictating because of necessity. And I know necessity is one of those abstractions that gives lots of license for bad, but when you look at what they're constraining, Russia's constraining their actions for, it's only what was agreed to prior by the same players. And Kissinger's coming out, despite the blue checks having a tissy fit over it, he's actually stating what was agreed to by Europe and the United States in the formation of a couple of nation states to buffer, to be neutral to the problem that was anticipated between NATO, its aspirations, and what Russia needed, and to keep things within reason. But no, we don't get that, because as we hear Ukraine popping up, again, the pipsqueak elephant in the room talking again, Zelensky says, wants Ukraine to become a big Israel. Don't acknowledge that you were a state that was actually compromised to begin with, that you didn't have the type of sovereignty a normal state has. No, just want to become another oppressive state, is what Zelensky does. The same guy that right the day before Russia said enough's enough, he's claiming that they want nuclear weapons back in. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said he wants his country to become a big Israel with its own face after the Russian invasion ends, stressing that security would likely be the main issue in Ukraine during the post-war period. There's a lot of statement in there, but mostly this is a Zionist inside running Russia, placed there probably by the United States, to want itself to be a same oppressive state without the land it actually claims is theirs, and to hurt and kill people without right and not be accountable. And also, a big Israel would be a nuclear-powered state that does not have to agree to the world. Now, this is his aspirations. That ain't going to happen. The point is, that's the kind of lunatic you're dealing with in Ukraine. And if I'm going to take away anything away from my conversation with my colleague, they don't have the place that they're talking. Just like I said, they don't have a moral right to be saying anything. They should have solved this thing a long time ago, and I think Kissinger's coming back on the world stage. I think he's 98. Boy, but he's done some damage too. Another Zionist could say, hey, wait a minute. Hold on. And guess what? There's some people in the world that don't like him saying that, which shows you how lunatic they are. There's no basis for anything that's going on. Zelensky wants a big Israel sitting right there. If you didn't understand what I was telling you about the elephant in the room being an influence, playing both sides of the fence. Why Putin, I think, gave a bit of a cold shoulder to Israel earlier here just a few weeks ago. There's another level of gameplay going on. And Zelensky's not smart enough to shut up, at least from the internal occupiers' standpoint. Nazis are actually fine now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League, another Zio criminal who has become somehow the conscience of the world and the nation on who's good and who's not. Nazis are actually fine now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, should be all the thing I have to say about that and what's really going on. What has been going on and predictive and exposing itself through the conditions in the world that nobody should be tolerating. None. Now, how is it that the Southern Law Poverty Law Center would come against anybody in the United States and then embrace Nazis and be against Russia for not denazifying? Literally, the fascists of the 40s, they are intent to take out. And the whole point was that they caused a condition which causes the Ukraine, which should, as we now, the statesman in Kissinger admits was a neutral state, is they're causing it to be a non-neutral state. And Russia's saying we can't have it that way. And we figured out who the cause. We know who the cause is. It's not COVID-19. We've found the infectious agent. And then we hear in the United States, the Southern Poverty Law Center, apparently the epitome of whatever proper think is, embraces Nazis, so-called. And these words are really stretched, so don't, I mean, I don't know what to say. We've got these words so stretched on what they're supposed to be, I don't even know anymore. But we've got to use some words to identify what the kind of thing we're dealing with. And they're agreeing, the Southern Poverty Law Center, despite we get back to the schedule of church and school shootings, Buffalo mass shooter used the same symbol as Ukraine's Azov battalion, wanted to trigger gun laws. I don't even know where to begin to start unpacking all this. This is where the progressives, the Democrats, would embrace Ukraine, who promotes the Nazis, who this guy uses the symbol of the Azov battalion, who wants to trigger gun laws while shooting a bunch of people. Embraced by the Democrats, apparently. Not just embraced, they want to send money to this back over there. Now, how it's condemned, the mass shooter's condemned here, running the same colors as the people in Ukraine that the Democrats actually support, and the Republicans too. There's really nothing here. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is beyond me to keep up with. Now, we could read the stories about how this is, but we can just watch the symbolism, what's going on, the insanity, the psychopathy going on, playing everybody's emotions. And not many people synthesizing down to what does this all mean for us? And then what are we going to do to stop it? What is it? What is really going on? How are we going to shut it down? It is not a voice I hear anywhere in any coherent manner amongst people. I don't mean just like my voice saying this has to be done and here's some things to start with. There's no many voices coming together to work that out. As we see the fomenter of all this, the one who wants to cause the pain, like the masters of the universe, and I don't put these things too far apart, the G7 is the United States in part, in support of all this pain they want to put in the transition of the world, the United States to allow Russian debt payment license to expire. To show you the focus relative to the monetary system and who has control, that someone who owes a debt is going to be stopped from their payment being able to be made and a plunder upon the money that is in the account from the payment being accepted by U.S. persons who the money is supposed to go to. It is the height of despicable. And more. I don't have the vocabulary anymore. How criminal this is. How there's not even a word that we can't talk even about what being right here. I don't have a word for what this thing is that stands against peace. Then that the United States will not extend a key waiver set to expire on Wednesday that allows Russia to pay U.S. bondholders, which could push Moscow closer to the brink of default as Washington ramps up the pressure on the country following its invasion. This article will tell you the ramifications of that. What I found interesting is that this is almost a perfect proof that if Russia goes ahead and allows it, they're not tied anymore. There's also something I understood, and I can't find the authority against it, that if they were to offer money in payment because of this and it was rejected, that debt is paid. And I was wondering, with the jab harm folks we have in the government, whether or not they're thinking that far ahead and whether or not this might be coming up. But the United States is interfering with Russia's obligations. And Russia then will be suffering. Just like the innocents in the schools. Just like the innocent people just getting along with what they thought following the law while the cops are not. The United States government is a thug. And if we don't come to terms with that, and they're doing that in our name as people in the United States, how much harm are we going to attribute on our backs because of this? Is reflected in a bunch of innocent kids getting killed in a school, I could say that way. What's interesting is I didn't understand how this article explains about this problem, what happens in Russia, the consequences, and it seemed to me that. And they also mention how good Russia is doing in the economy right now, that there's no reason for them not to be able to pay because of the way that they've actually accelerated their returns despite the sanctions. Just as I predicted would happen. Anybody should be able to look and see that happen. But this deals with the old world, and the Russians are saying we're going to make the new world of finance. So I'm just wondering how much, this is just, again, showing evidence of the government, United States government being a criminal, beyond anything else. And I don't know how much this really affects Russia. They say that no one will deal with Russia, but that's not true, because in the things that Russia deals in, countries need what Russia has. Russia is relevant in what it produces for some nations. Russia is relevant to some extent to the United States. Remember, we were also buying oil and things, I think it was for distillation from Russia, or diesel fuel, I think. And so Russia has a thing it's producing. It's a producer nation. Not the lackey, not like the lackey United States, which could produce, but it's decided to go down the transition, the global transition path to put harm on people. And then we see the response of Russia and China, again, the new world coming, now feeling their oats as well, and possibly substantiated. And when you're dealing, again, they're outing the fraud in the fiscal system of the world, the monetary system of the world. Again, the lie that a digital currency can be money. Nothing the United States has is money from the government side. It's been out, money has been outlawed. Everything you do is as money. Why you have as law rule, as law, not the real thing. You have a simulation, an analog. It's not the same. But Russia, in response, Russia and China fly nuclear-capable bombers in a joint drill over the Sea of Japan as Biden meets in Tokyo for Quad Summit. No respect anymore of the United States. No, we're going to show you we're not afraid. In fact, Russia and China are going to start working together. Certainly do not believe that they're actually the same. They're not. Understand that they are allies, and they are not afraid anymore. As President Joe Biden and leaders from Japan, Australia, and India met in Tokyo for a Quad Leaders Summit on Tuesday, Russia and China held joint military exercises flying nuclear-capable bombers over the Sea of Japan and East China Sea, nuclear-capable being the key because it's the war drum. It's the thing being pounded by the criminal United States. That's what's going on. It's the thing that Zelensky brought up the day before they knew they were going to be set against in their, for them behaving badly relative to agreements the United States, Britain, and Europe had agreed to in the establishment of Ukraine. Russia is saying, here, go ahead and we don't even have respect enough to not show, put a show of force right over, right near over Biden's head. It's not really a good sign. Not something that we really want to test, but I, again, jabbed, harmed as they are in Washington, it's not looking like there's any concessions, even to their own agreements. If they're not agreeable to their own word, they're not honoring their own word amongst their obligees and the nation as nations, do you think they're going to honor the obligations they have to you, the people? And the Constitution says we have a duty to alter or abolish that when the maladministration is such that we should. Is there license when we don't stop that? Ukraine's latest crisis hit Sri Lanka to buy 72 million of Russian oil. As I said, Russia has markets. They're not afraid of the United States anymore. The Russian invasion of Ukraine has begun on February 24th, continues and casualties mounting on both sides. So they got to start their story about Russian oil with the war in Ukraine when it's not really the point. The sanctions are really the war that was declared by the United States directly against the Russians. And it doesn't matter to countries that need energy. It doesn't matter in Texas as the pain of sustainable development and carbon footprint hits Texas. But you get to feel it a different way. So this is showing that Russia and Sri Lanka are dealing, notwithstanding the sanctions. as we see another report of Telegram News, I think this might be Sputnik, Russian oil revenues have increased by 50% since the beginning of the year. With such information, the material was published by Bloomberg with the reference to the data of the International Energy Agency. According to the research, since the beginning of 2022, the Russian budget has been replenished by $20 billion monthly, only thanks to the sale of oil and petroleum products, notwithstanding the sanctions, folks, just as I said would happen. The main flow goes to China and India. Oh, one of the Quad, we just heard, shaking their fist at the bombers. Hypocrisy, clearly. But the main flow goes to China and India, which have closed the missing volumes that arose due to Europe's decision to abandon Russian oil. Cut their own throat, folks. No country exists in the modern age without this energy. But the green religion will impose it, and you'll like it. However, the countries of the European Union continue to purchase hydrocarbons from Russia, bypassing their own sanctions. When's it stop? Stupidity, hypocrisy, criminality. They says these are the sanctions that were supposed to destroy the Russian economy. More confirmation of what I said behind the woodshed about how the real, just spitting into the wind on this one with what Biden and the United States government and the monetary system of the world is doing. Just that's your future, how they'll mishandle things in the future for you as you are directly tied to this beast, this monster in the world, this beast that's going to be controlling everything, even to the extent that you see what the standard is. A company like Tesla promoting this green religion by the product it makes is not good enough. They can't behave good enough. Biden reverses Trump withdrawal of U.S. Army trainers for Somalia. So not only is the sanctions not working and Russia is dealing with Sri Lanka, the United States will put its big dirty foot back into Somalia by sending 500 soldiers back into full-time deployment in Somalia to train the country's army to combat increasing threat based on al-Shabaab militants likely created by the CIA like they did in Syria. Don't get out of forever wars. No, continue them. And continue to find excuses to continue them. And the United States people, I guess, are agreeable with that. Maybe not so much as Bezos blasts disinformation, spreading Biden over latest inflation blame as misdirection. I thought that was perfect. Interesting that Bezos is blasting the government, biting the hand that feed him. Biden the hand that feed him? Maybe so. For misdirection, they want to call it. Don't come on and say misrepresentation. Misdirection. That's the entirety of the United States government. And the people not agreeable. But this first sentence and paragraph, the constant gaslighting of America over whose fault the soaring cost of living just went to 11 on the do you think we are effing stupid scale? As Matt Margolis points out, it has been a wild ride for the blame shifting until now. And now it's reckoning. The whole point now is starting to turn more into people recognizing it, that the corporate structure is speaking back. They're biting the hand that feeds them, essentially, and they're not bashful to go ahead and say so. And what I found interesting is the last sentence of this article. We can go ahead and read about that if we want. But however, we must not lose track, this last sentence says, of the fact that when Jeff Bezos is mocking Biden, you know it's bad. And so this, keep track of these little anomalies, if you will, how there's no respect whatsoever, and no one's bashful to call it out, and they are so certain that they're not going to be affected, they can call it out. Yeah, Russia and China, yeah, we're going to send our nuclear-capable bombers right over your head, Biden, or close enough. Bezos, it's not bold enough to say it's fraud, misrepresentation, but no, it's misdirection. What Biden's coming up with. As the American colonel announced Biden's plan to start a NATO war with Russia. This is what they've wanted. It's not the United States. There's the underlying cabal that wants this war. They want Russia down, dead, gone. It's got a different... Let me offer... I don't want to embrace this completely because there's some failures in it, but This is the underlying war, maybe to end history, folks. What they're attempting to do with Russia being what it now shows. It's not the Soviet anymore. It's gone orthodox. It seemingly continues to, indeed, folks, indeed execute an orthodox faith. And these demons at Davos, United States supporting G7, are attacking them. I don't talk too much about this, but this is another one of those categories of analysis that goes on in me perpetually with this. This is a very high-level destruction going on. That's why Israel is involved. But we hear, apparently, I've got to just take this on face value because it doesn't look like it's going away. The administration of the United States, President Joe Biden, may be planning to start up a war between NATO and Russia using Poland's invasion of the Western Ukraine as an excuse, writes a retired colonel, former advisor, United States Secretary of Defense Douglas MacGregor, in a column for the American Conservative. The specialist noted that the successes of the Russian army in the battles of the territory on the former Soviet Republic and the deplorable state of the armed forces of Ukraine are contrary to Washington's plans. As they go through and discuss it, this is just, again, a front. To me, that's not yet the proxy war. I said my view is that the proxy war was that it is done in the economics. They're attacking them. The global side, the global scale is how you interact with other nations on your business side. Wars are temporary. Business is future. You're not supposed to attack a nation. The other atrocity here in international, you're not supposed to attack a nation on its business side. And yet the United States does. It's terrible. And so there's a glimmer that there's more plan afoot going on, which I would expect. So again, hearing it from them is helpful. It's not just a conspiracy theory. Even if we look and say this is not authorized, it doesn't matter. There's a view that this is what this is leading to. And don't think Russia doesn't understand that, but they keep flying their bombers over near Biden's head. Another aspect of this underlying future that looks like financially it's now torn. It's not coming back. And the United States is will be on a free fall here probably relatively soon, whether or not the people understand it and see it. So they keep the people in tow. Another aspect of the global transition and pain is to make people, humans, the human animal, less inferior, at least, to the global structure and the biodiversity of the world. So I want to transition. The war against you is also at another level. Your very existence is inferior. These masters of the universe in Davos, with the power to create the state of things, are insisting that you're inferior, and they're inside and been working to slowly bring personage to animals. We've done these reports before, but two came together, which I, again, right in time to how this is all working, and the Davos, and the Master Universe Theory, and that they have the power to do it, and that the governments are doing it. Crabs and lobsters may get similar rights to mammals in UK experiments. Scientific experiments on crabs and lobsters could be curbed when animal sentience bill becomes law. There are a few restrictions on how crustaceans and decapods can be treated in scientific studies, in contrast to with mice and other mammals for which there are strict welfare laws. Because scientists do not have to register how many crustaceans and decapods they experiment on, there are no numbers for how many used. But because they breed quickly and are sensitive to pollutants, they are frequently used in experiments, especially those that look into how little types of pollution affect the body. Okay, we can go through this whole point. They want to try and give rights to crustaceans now. It's not that we're against sane treatment of animals, but we eat them. I mean, at one level. I don't know what else to say about that. The reason why they want to give animals rights and equal to mammals, crustaceans, is because they become part of a protected class universally by the masters of the universe at Davos. Eventually through the technocracy. They will actually be given a special preferential view as being part of the world that's trying to be protected, notwithstanding what their position is supposed to be. As we also read here in Bronx Zoo, elephant a person? New York court will decide. They're bringing a mammal, again, not a monkey this time, and the bananas that we talked about, and the hooker that the bananas will be traded to when that EBT card gets given to that ape. Is a Bronx Zoo an elephant a person? Is this establishment of personage to animals as they diminish human as the animal and they're classified as a mammal and to put you on par and controllable so that your behavior is based on how little effect you do on every other creature? And understand, you're really more the worst of them all in this Master of the Universe Davos control. And if you haven't read that, you need to go read more and read enough till you find out that's what these people actually think, notwithstanding that they have divorced themselves from being that themselves, which is another type of mental illness. And if you don't think the cage mammal and the elephant needing to be a personage for protection of habeas corpus, if you think habeas is out of this, folks, go read that story. The Supreme Court makes it more difficult for prisoners to argue that they had ineffective counsel. The human animal is constrained to be stuck in a system of prison cages that we see the judicial system is corrupt, but they are now reducing the ability of those people that are trapped there to make post-conviction relief to themselves relative to a claim of ineffective assistance of counsel. I would say, just in a quick review of this discussion, if you're ever tied into this thing, into that system, and are going to be facing some time, this is maybe some heinous folks that really maybe should have execution happen, but the due process requires we finish that answer all the way to the end. Some of that answer is taken away because you aren't allowed to have ineffective assistance of counsel, apparently. Some of the criticism is that's absurd. But I would say those of you that are involved in this, you're going to have to argue the ineffective assistance of counsel right up front in your court case. You're going to have to qualify what effective assistance of counsel would be in order to affect this up front, because they've taken it away from you as a cause of review for the federal system over that condition. Moving on, so the prisoner, the mammals, the human animal in prison, now the rights are taken away, while the elephant, in the room necessarily here, is given personages to have a habeas corpus to run about the country freely, I suppose. And the next step going into crustaceans for communication, I'm not sure if they'll ever get a Twitter account, but as what happened to me, they killed my account for a while because I didn't want to authenticate it. Twitter will pay $150 million for using people's security phone numbers to target ads. That in the future will be for using persons' security phone numbers as the elephant is trying to get a Twitter account. The man in the jail will not be, the prisoner in jail will not be, and their crustaceans will be clicking and clacking to get theirs. But the people's security phone numbers were used as targeted ads, and that was a wrong thing that Twitter did if you thought that they were looking out for you. But no, it's $150 million to settle a privacy lawsuit to the Department of Justice. So Twitter's not above all this if we didn't even know more. The point is that they're not supposed to be using your authentication security numbers to target you with ads. That's what they're doing. And I told them I don't have a phone. You're not getting us an authentication number. And they killed my account for a while till I jumped on them a little bit. Oh, and then they found their error, excuse us, and then they go on. What are you going to say more? I don't have more time for it. Point is that when they're looking for tying you up. This is a meta world now. And so we have to be protective of all that, because, like, elephants have rights anyway. I hope that something I said is mind-boggling enough to get you interested and active to protect yourself as we move on. Thank you for all the syndicators and what you do to promote the broadcast, and click and like and all, and I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs, or nature will.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.